Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Man, oh man, oh man, it's good to be home in Nairobi Lighthouse. I think Pastor Don is getting younger every time I see him. Man, he was jumping around and still jumping after all these years. I just want to share out of my heart, and my heart is full. I didn't come prepared with a message as such to preach, but my heart's being stirred, and I believe that we're in a season in the world right now, amongst all the nations, there is a divine reset going on. I know you're seeing a lot of trouble and a lot of things, but God has positioned the church, the body of Christ, the ecclesia, the called out ones, to be ready to give an answer for the perplexities of life and the perplexities of the nations. And there's a lot of things going on, a lot of opinions floating around. And how many know that opinions are kind of like noses? Everybody has one. And most of the time they need to be blown out. But anyway, it's God's opinion that counts. And there's a divine reset, I believe, that's happening. Some would call it an awakening, a third great awakening. But I believe that this is the greatest time to be alive in the body of Christ. Jesus, who was the chief apostle, the apostolic age, if you'll allow me this liberty just to talk to you for a moment, that apostolate really started with Christ. And Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And I believe that this is the greatest hour for the church in this divine reset. And I believe that it's happening, and it's happening right now. And the issue with history is nobody knows that it's happening till after it's happened. It takes a divine inspiration, a sense of the Spirit to know when history is changing. And I believe the church has a keen sensitivity by the Spirit to be aware of history being made right now. And I believe that in the years to come, people are going to look back and they're going to say, oh, that's when it happened. That's when it happened. And I believe the intensity of the apostolate is stronger now, or the apostles, the sent one. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. I believe there's a strong anointing right now in the apostolate, in the ecclesia, in the body of Christ, for there to be a great sending, whether it's across the street or around the world. I believe that people are turning and asking and crying out for a voice of wisdom, and that voice of wisdom rests in you. It rests in you. And I believe there's a sensitivity coming in this season to the body of Christ, where a fresh drawing in our hearts, because there's going to be a renewed sowing of the seed of God. Everything is a seed. When God created, if you'll read in Genesis, when God created the world, how many know that God did create the world? Before he ever created human beings, he put in the earth everything that we would need for life and prosperity. There is nothing, the chairs that you sit on, the clothes that you wear, the car that you drive, airplanes in the air, everything you see came out of the earth. It didn't come from Mars. It didn't come from some planet. And that's why I believe that the earth is called, God called it, the believer's possession. In Psalm chapter 2, God said, ask of me. This was his request. He said, ask of me, and I will give you the nations. I'm glad we're here on Mission Sunday, because I want to talk about missions a little bit. I want to talk about the nations. He said, ask of me, and I will give you. See, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He said, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth as your possession. When God created Adam and he created Eve, he created even Adam out of the ground, out of the earth, out of the dust, and squeezed man out and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the ruach of God. And God took a part of his divine self and put it inside of Adam, and Adam became a living nephesh, a living soul. And that's what made him like God. And the Bible says in Genesis, it tells us, I believe it's around 126, that God made us in the image of God and in the likeness of God. That word image means the direct imprint. That's like your fingerprint. How many know your fingerprint is unique? No one else has yours. And that means if you lay it there, it's a direct reflection of what's there. God made you in the image, made humans in the image of God and in the likeness of God. The word likeness means the manner of life. Not only in the image, but in the behavior of life. To act like God, to walk like God, to talk like God, to be a part of his family, because he breathed himself into Adam and Adam became a living nephesh. And God extended himself in Adam. And not only was Adam made in the image of God, but he was made in the manner of life. And when man fell, because in the first Adam, we all die, but in the second man, Adam, we're all made alive. And when man fell, he did not cease to be in the image of God. He didn't quit being a spirit. He fell from the likeness of God, and he was separated because of sin, and he became an inventor of evil. That's not what God intended. That's not what God planned. God said, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to multiply. I want you to take dominion over the earth. The earth is yours, and you're my family, and I'm your God. How many believe that God's your God? And so man became spiritually dead or separated from God. And when he was separated from God, because he took of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he leased out the earth, his control. He gave it over to the devil. And that's why the devil was so aggressive to wipe out righteousness, because if he could wipe out righteousness completely from the earth, he would have fulfilled the lease and taken over. That's why the greatest favor God ever did was flood the world in Noah's day. Because there was only seven left that were righteous. They were that close. And God said, I'm going to destroy the world. I'm going to give it a reset. I'm going to start it over. And he flooded the earth. And then he gave the same command to Noah that he gave to Adam. And in Genesis, when man fell, redemption started at that point. In Genesis 3:15, God said, I will put enmity to the devil. He said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and that seed, everybody say seed, that seed, you will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. There was the promise in covenant that God would bring redemption, because man without God is given to folly, foolishness, sin, and death. There's nothing good in our flesh. But thank God for grace. Somebody say, thank God for grace. And so God had a plan. The Bible even tells us that Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That God had a master plan in giving us in humanity our free moral agency, the right to choose and not to be a robot. That God said, I know that there's a possibility that they could choose to reject me, but I love them so much, I've got a plan to redeem them and restore them and a way back into the family so they will not be lost. Everybody say, thank God for grace. And so the plan of redemption began to unfold. And that's why, guys, I want you to know that the nations, there's only one thing God wants out of the earth. He wants people. He wants you. God loves people. Now, I know sometimes people are the hardest things in the world to get along with. Come on. You ever had somebody you had a hard time getting along with? But God loves people. He loves tall people, short people, fat people, skinny people, ugly people, pretty people. God loves people. Amen? And so God gave two things that he said, I want you to ask for. He said, I want you to ask for the ethnos. I want you to ask for for humanity. I want you to ask for the nations. Because when God looks down at the earth, the one thing he calls treasure is people. He put gold in the earth and covered it up. We dig it up and call it treasure. God calls it provision. It's a possession to empower the people of the kingdom to get the true treasure of the earth. And the treasure of the earth is the ethnos. It's the nations. It's the children. In fact, scientists, as brilliant as they are, have discovered, as they've looked into DNA, as they begin to study the genomes of DNA and all of the chromosomes and everything, they actually named and they saw, they had this discovery when they found human remains here in Africa. And they said, one thing we have discovered, they said, what we've discovered is that there is a singular unity of chromosome that comes from a single source, and they named it Eve. Not Eve out of the Bible, scientific Eve. And then they found the Y chromosome, and they began to study it, and they called it the scientific Adam. And how many know we know who Adam and Eve really is? We all come from one single source of creation, and that creation was given to us by God. So God loves people. I knew you'd be excited about that. And so God said, look, I've given you the earth, and the earth's singular purpose, its destiny, is to empower my people and give them a possession to be able to extend that possession to win the inheritance. The earth was created to serve humanity. But resource has no soul. Resource takes on the soul of the person that possesses it. And what happens, it doesn't matter if your desire is to save the world or to blow the world up. Your resource is attached to your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect. And I just figure the devil's had it long enough. God intended resource to be mastered by his children for the purpose of gathering the treasure of the earth. And the treasure of the earth is people. The treasure of heaven, the pearl of great price, is Jesus. Because in the first man, Adam, we all die. in the second man, Adam, we're all made alive. Amen. How many thank God for redemption? When you really begin to understand that in your spirit, it'll make you shout more over that than anything else you shout about. God not only restored and has given you the ability to be a spirit, but he is restoring and he's restored us in the manner of life, in the God life. That's why the Bible says when we're born again, that we are new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away. Old manner of living has passed away. And all things have become new. And those new things are of God. And the good news of the gospel that must be published in all the world as a witness before the end is that God can redeem humanity. The legal publication of the announcement of the word, the preaching of the gospel, is to say a sinner can be born again. It is to say that a sick person can be healed. It is to say you can go to heaven when you die. It's to say that if you're depressed, you can be free and you can be set free and have peace. It means you can have joy. Amen. Didn't say you don't have trouble, but be of good cheer. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. I believe, Pastor Don, that 27 years ago, this is what the Lord spoke to my heart. I was sitting right there. He said, 27 years ago, something happened, and there was a divine shift in God's attention to this day. That's around 1999, 1998. I believe God started a preparation for this house in its Antioch expression 27 years ago. I don't know what happened in 1999, 98. We've never talked about it, but something supernatural happened that shifted a preparation for Nairobi Lighthouse in its Antioch anointing to touch the world. And this is the time of divine reset. Hallelujah. And because of that reset, God has given us a relationship with him. And being born again and being restored and being redeemed, turn to somebody and say, I've been redeemed. And then we've been filled with power. How many thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost? Like Pastor Don was saying, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, I want you to look in the book of Acts for just a moment. Again, I just wanted to talk out of my heart to you. I believe the Lord's saying some things to you. Acts 1 and 8 says, and you shall receive power, or dunamis. That's not the word dynamite. It's where we get the word dynamite. But you shall receive power. Literally, in the original language, it means God's natural capability to do anything as it is expressed in redemption. Hallelujah. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. That word unto is a substantivial preposition. I know you didn't come to English class, but you can put that when you have a substantivial preposition, it means to give essence or add substance to something. So we're going to put it at the end of the sentence. Well, I promise we'll put it right back. But it's legal to do that, even though you put undue stress on it, according to the grammar teachers. God didn't need a witness for himself. He's already got a made-up mind about himself. He said, you shall be witnesses unto me. It literally means you shall witness me unto. You will give me essence and substance unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. The reason that God gave us power is not just so we can shout, dance, and sing, even though I enjoy that, because you can't put dynamite in a thimble and not expect something to happen. We react, we respond to the power of God. But the power of God was never intended to give us divine goosebumps. That's a byproduct of the anointing, and thank God for it. Amen? I jump just not as high as I used to. But the reason the Holy Spirit came and we were divinely filled, the promise was, I want to empower you as the Father sent me, so send I you. How many believe Jesus was a seed? He's the seed of Abraham, right? Not seeds as many, but seed, the seed of Abraham. And we are seeds as children of the kingdom, and God has sown us in places. When he looked at you, he said, I know the best place to plant that seed. I will trust you with Nairobi. I'll trust you with Kenya. I will trust you, because God said that his word would prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. We know the word is seed. We know money is a seed. But you're a seed. And once you get born again, God said, you'll prosper where I plant you. Because everything you need is in the life of the seed. And everything the seed needs to grow is in the life of the earth, where it's planted. And he said, it will accomplish, everybody say accomplish. It will accomplish that I please. The problem is sometimes people in the challenge of life want to accomplish something without getting into something. They want to have children, but they don't want to get into a committed relationship. They want to make money, but they won't get into being faithful in a job. A lot of people don't want to get into something. A seed will not prosper unless it's sown in the earth. And the Bible says that it's the garden that causes the thing that is sown in it to spring forth, Isaiah said. And then God said, that is how righteousness will spring forth in the earth. Someone said, well, I want to see miracles. I want to see all kinds of things happening. Well, the first thing we have to do is realize that we are sons and daughters of the kingdom. We are born again, and there's all this potential of the manifestation of the kingdom of God inside of us, but we have to get planted in something before we can accomplish anything. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Some people don't want to be a part of the ecclesia, don't want to be a part of the church, but they want to go out and they want to express and manifest kingdom activity. It's not going to happen. If you're not connected, then you can't manifest. Well, we were shouting a while ago. It's so wild how you run out of time so quickly. So the issue of being planted is to say yes to the divine clasis of God, the invitation. How many received an invitation to get born again? When that invitation came, that clasis, you responded to the invitation. And it's the word calling. God calls you to be born again. God invites you into the kingdom. But that's not the only calling that we have. There is a calling into vocation. I'd like to build that, but I'm just going to have to refer you to, you can read the whole Bible. It's a good book. I suggest you go home and read it. It'll really do you good. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is talking to the church about the progression of the believer. And he said, listen, I'm asking you, I'm begging you, I want you to walk worthy of the vocation whereon you are called. That word vocation is the word calling, the klesis. I want you to respond to the invitation, to your vocation, to your heavenly invite to be productive in the kingdom. It's not talking about your work. Your work is your platform. The significance of your life is the holy calling that you have that's expressed off of that platform. And he has graced us, every believer, with five things. He has given you grace. Everybody say grace. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Every one of us have a divine favor. Everybody say favor. That means God's willingness to get involved in our life, even though we don't deserve it. How many glad that God was willing to get involved in your life? That divine klesis. God has invited you. And because he has given you that invitation and he's given you grace, we have a thing that God gave us called faith. And faith is the ability that God has given us to have a positive response to connect with his grace. That simply means anything that God wants to teach you, you have the capacity to learn. Anything God wants to give you, you have the capacity to receive. Amen? If you'll give God your yes, he'll give you his best. How many remember Abraham taking Isaac outside the mountain? We talk about that sacrifice. Everybody talks about that wonderful journey. But Pastor Don, that's the first place God ever manifested himself as Jehovah Jireh, talking about possession. And as they were going up, Isaac asked his daddy, he said, Daddy, here's the fire, here's the wood, where's the sacrifice? He said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Everybody talks about their journey of commitment, but nobody talks about the journey of the goat. On the other side of the mountain, there was a goat eating his way to his sacrifice. The provision of the Lord was walking at the same pace that Abraham and Isaac were walking at. Because Jehovah Jireh manifests itself when we surrender to purpose, provision meets us there, and Jehovah Jireh provides out of the earth everything we need to accomplish the task. I'm telling you, there is a goat, there is a ram walking up the other side of your mountain. And whatever you need, it will meet you at your point of surrender, and Jehovah Jireh will show up just in time.
Come on, can we just acknowledge, come on, the goodness of God today. Don't give up. Come on, keep walking up. Keep going higher. Keep going higher. You're on this side. The ram is on the other side. Don't give up. Come on, in Jesus' name, was that a word for us in season today? Thank you, Pastor David and Melta, for being here. God loves people. People are God's treasure in the earth. God only wants one thing out of the earth. It's not gold. You may be chasing gold today. God's not wanting gold. God wants people. What a beautiful, challenging word for us as we look at these incredible nations around the world, particularly here in Africa, where God has planted us. We're planted. I love that. I've gleaned so much today, and I pray you have as well. You're one of those people. You don't know Christ. You've not given your life to Christ. You're one of the people standing here today. Perhaps you were following the Lord, but life happened. Things went crazy. You turned back. Today, we want to give you an invite. Come on, we're reaching out to the nations. Nairobi Lighthouse Church has a heart for the nations, always has, always will. Thank you, Father, for the family being extended in the earth, that we're part of that family. And God, everything that we possess is, as we've been taught, as we've been hearing, everything that we have possessed is for your purpose. And we thank you today in Jesus' name. Have an amazing week, everybody. The Lord richly bless you. Go forth and let's continue to bring God his greatest treasure, and that's people. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of, or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.